we have little idea of how the most common crop and animal species were first domesticated, and the camel is no exception. On the basis of anthropological evidence, it seems likely that humans began drinking camel milk about 5,000 years ago in the Horn of Africa, or perhaps just across the Red Sea in southern Arabia. To this day, Somalis refuse to ride camels, believing that the large, slow beasts make their riders easy targets. Today, this region is home to the world's largest population of camels, which are still kept only for their milk. Gradually, mankind discovered other uses for the animal: meat and leather from the males, hair from both sexes, and last but not least, transport. Until about 1500 BC, the donkey had been the pack animal of choice. Thereafter, nomadic tribes bred huge numbers of camels for transport. If the donkey was a family sedan able to convey light loads over smooth, hard surfaces, then the camel was a Land Rover because it could carry roughly twice as much and twice as fast over long stretches of trackless waste. This capability revolutionized trade over the sands of the Middle East and through the steppes of Asia. A single camel driver conducting 3 to 6 animals can transport 1 to 2 tons of cargo between 20 and 60 miles in one day. A trader cannot simply hang heavy bags across a camel's back. The animal's soft, non-supportive hump and swaying motion require a frame and mattress saddle that distributes the weight of the cargo over its back. Between about 1300 BC and 100 BC, pre-Islamic Arabian nomads refined saddles to the point where they allowed the average pack camel to carry more than 500 pounds, and the strongest animals in excess of 1,000 pounds. The ultimate configuration, the North Arabian saddle, has been in continuous use in the Middle East for the past 2,000 years. The Bactrian camels of Central Asia are just as highly specialized and carefully bred as the dromedaries of the Arabian desert, having been domesticated for transport at more or less the same time, around 2500 to 2000 BC. The slightly cooler and wetter climates of the Asian steppes, Iran and India, favor the two-humped design. But whereas the desert Arabs valued the dromedary not only for its transport ability, but also for its milk, meat, and hair, Central Asians did not. In that part of the world, settled agriculture had already established itself and had spread widely. Central Asians found sheep's wool superior to camel hair, and cow's milk and meat more plentiful and better tasting. Thus, as the ancient era wore on, both the size and the range of the more highly valued dromedary population increased and began to expand into the domain of the Bactrians, first in Syria and Iraq, then in Iran, then in India, and finally in Central Asia itself. When the two populations came into contact, the laws of hybridization worked their typical magic. The two types are similar enough to interbreed, and the first generation offspring of a Bactrian and dromedary is, as so often happens with hybrids, a beast possessed of remarkable stamina and strength, perfectly suited to the long distances of the Central Asian overland trade. All along the Silk Road, demand grew rapidly for these crossbred super camels, capable of carrying up to 0.5 ton of cargo from China to the western edge of Asia. Such beasts of burden can be bred with a Bactrian stallion servicing a large population of dromedaries, or the other way around. The pairing of a Bactrian stallion and a dromedary mare, however, is used almost exclusively, since one Bactrian stallion can service a large number of dromedary mares, the latter being far more common, even in Central Asia. The inexorable logic of animal husbandry also demands that hardy first-generation crossbreeds not mate, as their second-generation offspring are most often small and weak. Consequently, the dromedary and the crossbreed predominate in almost all of Africa and Asia. Only in the highest and coldest mountains of Central Asia, where even the hardy crossbreed cannot thrive, are pure Bactrians bred in any number.